So you're recording a podcast with your mates the other day.
I'm so glad you watched Letterkenny now. Holy shit. So you're recording your podcast with your mates the other day. And you're like,
to be
oh,
fair,
fuck.
To be fair. Hello, humans,
hey.
And welcome to Audio Face, an irreverent podcast about music news, music culture that mostly matters. I'm Dan.
I'm Sean.
This is episode 131, and we've got three albums, as we quite often do for y'all. We have Miss Anthropocene. The new Grimes album. We have Map of the Soul 7 by BTS, the new BTS album. And we have something that came out in January, Bombay Bicycle Club, which... not to be confused with Two Door Cinema Club. Apparently, they rent rooms next to each other. But Everything Else Has Gone Wrong is their album that was released in late January. So we have an opportunity to review that, and we will, and we will talk about that. Plus, a little bit of news that happened from the week. Just so you know, later this week, we are going to be releasing our Caribou bonus episode, because Young Caribou is going to be dropping his latest album this Friday.
Correct.
And we'll be reviewing it on the next episode of Audio Face, but we like to do a little bit of like a retrospective on some of these artists that we like, especially ones that have been in 50 of the 10s.
Yes,
so,
exactly.
Check out that episode dropping later this week. Thanks for the feedback on the political episode. I'm glad to see y'all liked it. We'll never do it again. Just kidding. We'll see how it goes. But glad y'all liked that. And yeah, let's just get into the news. We usually start with like the top story of the music world of the week, which usually means someone got shot.
Which now, you know, it's like 1995 all over again.
And then 2019-18 was like 1995. Like, there's like fucking shootings. There were shootings. There were rat beefs. I mean, we had a segment. We had the rat beef segment.
I know. We need to bring that back because Drake is going to make an entire thing about rat beef, entire Twitch stream service of rat beefs.
Yeah, that could be wild. But no. Pop Smoke, rising up-and-coming rapper from Brooklyn, was shot dead at his Hollywood
rental
estate.
Home.
Yes, rental home. It was an attempted armed robbery. I mean, I'm sorry, this is so pedantic, but at what point is it attempted and, like, successful? I mean, because it was an armed robbery.
So attempted is if
you go in there. This is the DM Evans & Associates legal corner.
Is if you go in there, right, and the guy and the homeowner slash renter slash person who's living there at the moment is there, and you gotta shoot him. That's attempted robbery, because they're like, damn, we gotta stop robbing. A successful robbery is you go, you tie him up, you leave him alive while you rob him in front of them, and then you leave. And or no one's there. And they take the money and run, as Tom York says.
Yeah, I guess it just depends if money was taken from it, and this is
well,
not...
Well, it's probably because it was in, and then they were trying to rob, and then he saw it, and then got shot.
This is literally pedantic, so I might end up editing this out anyways.
Hilarious.
But, yeah, no, really, he was rushed to the ambulance at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in West Hollywood. That's a good hospital, but he was pronounced dead at the hospital once he got there. Two men wearing hoodies and masks broke into his Hollywood Hills house, fired multiple shots, striking and quickly wounding Pop Smoke. Pop Smoke is, up-and-coming career, well-known for the song Welcome to the Party that he remixed with Nicki Minaj. And more recently on the Jack Boys album, the last song, Gaddy, which I thought was... because. Pop Smoke was like a drill rapper in New York, which is very interesting for the East Coast of America in general. Drill's more of like a UK thing often, at least right now. Because like drill and grime, there's a lot of overlap. However, yeah, that song had like an interesting sort of spin to it. And I think because of Pop Smoke. And you know, like it's... I'm not... All these things are sad. There's no reason like a home invasion robbery should like end in this death or anything like that. But a lot of musicians came... to Twitter and said that the lesson we'd learned from this is to stop flexing your cash and things on social media. Like, stop bragging about how much money you have and what houses you have and all this stuff on social media because it makes you a target. And sure, I guess.
not a bad idea.
I mean, it's not a... Definitely want to take precautions, but I think the larger issue of crime is just, like, there. And the issues that create these disparities so that people do commit these murders is something to definitely be... considered. But either way, it's largely kind of a sad affair. Any artist dying too soon, and it wasn't like an XXXTentacion situation, so I'm at least partially upset about it, but you can move on from that. We have our first album of the week we're reviewing, Grimes' new album, Misanthroposony.
I'm not going to even remotely try and say that, but it is...
It's like close to misanthrope, but yeah, like it's not.
It is 15 songs, an hour and 7 minutes long.
Kind of. It's sort of but 11 like, songs and about 50 yeah. minutes long because the last four are like slight different redo mixes yeah. of them. But the album was... I largely liked it.
There was tracks I liked a lot, and there's tracks I didn't like a lot. So there's like hit and miss, hit and miss, hit and miss. There's a lot of actually good stuff in here. There's a lot of things that are not so good.
Yeah, and I'll try to do my best. We talked yeah. about Grimes a lot on this podcast, specifically in relation to her antics, especially her relationship with Elon Musk. But true to audio face, we're just gonna talk about the music here until we can. But no, I think it starts off pretty all right. So Happy I Fell Through the Earth.
I like that track.
The whole
a lot.
Sound of the album is very
it's eclectic as fuck.
But I think most Grimes albums have always had this like techno punk sort of aesthetic. Yeah. This turns it up to like 11 and throws it in space.
Yes.
Again, you have to wonder what kind of influences in her life maybe cause her to make this sort of album or put it in this kind of direction, but nevertheless it's largely pretty cool. Even the songs that I would say aren't full like hits or misses or aren't full like yeah definitely aren't full hits and kind of are misses, I still kind of liked. Dark Side would be one of those.
I did not like that song at all.
I appreciated it in much the same way I appreciated
that's
four...
what she appreciates about me.
In much the same way I appreciated 4 AM, which is a couple songs.
4 AM I liked a lot, actually. I liked So Heavy Fell Through, Violence, 4 AM. Those three were probably my favorites on the album, for sure.
That's fair. I think my favorite, yeah, Violence. I like the club mix of Violence more. Yeah. The Violence, since we did like have it right above, is a really good, like fun track. I think Grimes shines best when she brings the best bits of certain genres within electronic music to the forefront and then like taps into those for a little bit. Violence is a very like dancey track and the club mix definitely shows that. But even though I was talking with 4 weird AEM.
4 AM is how I'm saying it.
4 Helios M.
Yeah.
it's still the, it brings in drum and bass into the song. It's like a visitor for the album. It's not really that present anywhere else, but like it's still very techno and electronic influence album, but one is also very influenced by like hard rock and that kind of emotion that you're trying to put forward with it. I will say I like this album more than not, for sure. I stopped mostly at We Appreciate Power because that's like the ending song, and that was the single that came out that was also very good.
It's good, yeah. It's interesting because some of her work I like, some of it I don't like at all, but this album might be one of my favorites of hers that she's released because I can relate to it the most. Especially, I really like the opening track, So Heavy I Fell Through the Earth. That's awesome. It's really that... euphoric style of just you feel like you're floating through space and then I mean that's kind of the entire point of the song, but the way it's mixed, the way all the instrumentation electronics are used in it, it's something that's very unique, and I very much enjoy that piece a lot. So go to our arbitrary scale, which is going to be
arbitrary scale this week is Chris Matthews quotes from the year. Actually, no, I'm not even going to take the year 2020 because I have another really good Chris Matthews quote that I love to bring up all the time. Chris Matthews, the pundit on MSNBC, who is used to politics and, you know, the way Tip O'Neill did it back in the 80s. Ha! He's I do not like this man. And he has been saying some very interesting things about politics that makes you really question why he is a political commentator. But I am going to use one of my favorite Chris Matthews quotes for this to describe this album, because it is like a pretty good album here, but has like a little bit of awkward steps. I'm going to use the time Chris Matthews was talking about Barack Obama as he was running for president in 2008. Mm-hmm. And he said, there's something about Barack Obama. I don't know, just watching him, I get a little bit of a thrill up the leg. And Keith Olbermann and Rachel Maddow just like bam eyes.
Just straight up like.
Keith was like, okay, how do I steer this ship in 180 degrees and get out of here? Yeah, Chris Matthews getting the BBC cuckold hots for Barack Obama was kind of.
No, that was hilarious.
A pretty rad. But what Chris Matthews quote is this for you?
This is the solid, I'm going to get hanged in the middle of Times Square because socialism. If
Central Park.
Central Park. We'll get hanged in the middle of Central Park because, you know, that's what socialists do.
Bernie Sanders is going to be elected, and the first thing he's going to do, not Medicare for all, not voting reform, not climate change, he's going to go straight to Chris Matthews and everyone who works at Fox News and everyone who works at MSNBC, mm-hmm. and they're going to round them up in Central Park, just like Pol Pot did. totally not going to happen, and your healthcare is going to be great. Go Nevada. Anyways, so Kalani, we like her, mm-hmm. has been on again, off again, dating YG. We don't like him. and for numerous
Canada,
reasons,
not necessarily. Canada, get it.
Noted 2018 Audio Face Award, Vanilla Ice Award winner. Mm-hmm. But YG,
for many other reasons.
Yeah, YG and Kalani had been dating on and off since like September of 2019.
Kalani, get a bit of taste in men.
Facts. And then in December 2019, they broke up because, you guessed it, YG cheated on her.
Yep. Once. Again?
Again. So, anyway, so Kalani and YG had gotten back together, and it seemed like things were going okay, at least as early as this year. And in February, in fact, on February 14th, they dropped a Valentine's Day, like, collaboration song.
Yeah.
That was called Conclusions with a K. And it was really interesting. It dropped on February 14th, and it was really surprising for people to listen. It's like, okay, this couple's back and better than ever. 2 days later.
then she dropped the breakup song.
Yeah. So it's February 17th, midnight of February 17th. So just like mm-hmm. a hair mm-hmm. over 2.5 days have passed since Valentine's Day. And Kalani releases a breakup song about YG called Valentine's Day, parentheses, shameful, about their breakup. And it turns out they broke up because YG cheated on Kalani. Again.
So
we're not going to be reviewing the song because it's just like, why? This is the most, like, I don't put celebrity gossip news in this podcast as much as possible.
But that's hilarious. That's fucking awesome. The YG Note a Little Idiot Award.
Yeah.
This should be warning to anybody. Do not do a Valentine's Day song ever. Oh, yeah.
Just don't do a Valentine's Day collab.
Exactly.
Just don't participate in Valentine's Day. Don't take any pictures. Don't document it at all so you never have to remember it. And when your phone reminds you what you were doing 3 years ago. Anyways, the next album we have is BTS's Map of the Soul 7.
Look what you did in 2017. I'm going to kill.
Takes Glock to phone.
I'm going to myself.
Takes Glock to phone. Okay. Let me reset. Map of the Soul 7 by BTS is an album that they just released. BTS.
It's 20 songs, an hour and 14 minutes long.
Yeah, just hot off their mandated vacation, yes, which is like not a day over 2 months. Where they're just like, we're going to take a break from music. We just want to make sure we're not burned out. And literally a month and a half later, they're like back in the studio.
Yeah.
It's wild. It's interesting. My opinions of BTS are very similar to what we had last year when Map of the Soul mm-hmm. Persona came out, which is definitely very confusing because they use this phrase a lot, Map of the Soul. But Persona, I would consider to be definitely an album. And there are even like a couple of songs that fit on there.
Yeah.
But it's almost small enough to be an EP, whereas mm-hmm. this is like mm-hmm. a damn album.
This is a big ass album.
But this has Boy with Love with Halsey, which we talked about last year as being like a pretty decent song.
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Yeah. As for the rest of it, like, what can you say? Like, my same opinion of BTS is that.
It's
It's manufactured pop. Yes, it's manufactured pop is getting better, don't get me wrong, and that it's getting better at doing the genre blending that usually you get organically on SoundCloud or in like late night drunken rants between Sean and I. But it has that sort of experimentation in it slightly. In certain songs, like I believe Black Swan is like kind of a darker song about the pressures
See, there's two songs that are two titles of songs I like from other bands. You got Black Swan from Thom Yorke and you got Ugg from the 1975. Mm-hmm. And I saw that on here, I'm like, what are they doing? And they were both like just these pop hits that are, they're okay. It's not great. It's not terrible. It's 3.6 Röntgen, right in the middle. You're not gonna die from it unless your dosimeter doesn't read over 3.6. Then you're fucked.
Yeah.
But I have the same exact opinions from Persona that we did last year because it's more of the same of that. But that's a problem of a big ass band like this because
the company behind them that's like fucking pump out these hits, fucking go on these
because
tours.
It's literally the same after a while, so and the amount of music it gets blended out. It's like with Gucci Mane, he does the same thing where it's like I don't even know what albums are his at this point because there's so many.
Yeah, like I know certain songs from the Gucci Mane, but like I just don't know actual albums. And for us, if you can't tell, 131 episodes into this shit, reviewing albums and listening to albums for us is an experience, and it's helpful when you can tell that album apart from that other band's work. And certain bands just produce such an output that you don't get that changeover. That's why we're huge evangelists of taking a break when you're making
music.
Exactly,
like Damon, fucking take a break. But anyways, into the music of it. I hated Intro Persona. Like, I fucking hated that song.
Yeah.
It's awful. And then Boy With Love, I can listen to that song. That's decent. We talked about that when it was released as a single. I still have the same feelings as I do on that. Make It Right is okay. It's weird because some of their songs, they'll speak half in Korean, half in English. But the English, it's not to be mean, is really hard to understand. So I had to, like, look up lyrics and stuff to see exactly what's being said.
Right. Yeah.
On certain tracks
and
stuff.
But
then
it's like in the midst of it all, so it's like hard to pick out if you're listening to it.
Yeah, but also English is a stupid ass language that doesn't make sense. So I applaud anybody for trying it because fuck, I don't even speak it right. So
I arguably Korean makes a lot more sense as a language.
Probably.
Yeah.
But overall, like it's just really long after a while because it just about like around Black Swan, I was like, okay, can we just like wrap this up?
This song, like this entire album could have been cut in half.
Because it was so short, and I did say, I remember saying that okay, if they make short albums like this, short almost borderline EPs, it's good for the genre because that's a problem with the genre is that it's so almost one-dimensional to where it gets so samey. And the same thing with Trap, I like them smaller because then you're left wanting more. And that wanting feeling is something that is nice because then it makes you appreciate the work that is there.
You'd much rather have the wanting feeling than the get this out of here feeling.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a problem with this. It's just, it's so fucking long for a pop album.
They are
there are good stuff in it, though.
And I thought the Sia collaboration was all right. Mm-hmm. We've been following this thing where BTS really wants to work with more Western artists.
Which I think is awesome, honestly.
I think that's, like, for music in general, that's awesome. As long as they don't decide to make long-ass albums together, that's fine.
Don't Migos it, please. Don't Culture 8.
Yeah, literally, please don't. Arbitrary scale, back to the Chris Matthews ranking system. This is going to be the time when Chris Matthews was freaking out about New Hampshire
and decided to
and decided to run a graphic comparing Bernie Sanders' support to the combined support of three other moderates and saying, well, if we slice the pie like this, there's more pie on this side.
I was actually going to say that because the same like graphic popped up for Nevada, but he was still beating all of them.
Yeah.
He was like, 47%. What's all the other moderates? 42%. It's like, that's rough.
Bodies. Like, you have to combine three candidates in a completely hypothetical situation.
Yeah.
Where it's like, what are we making Buttigieg Secretary of Treasury or something?
Right.
Like, does he get to be like class like president or whatever? And, God, no.
Just make sure he's not in charge of black people.
Literally, a lot of these candidates need to stay the hard fuck away from black people, if you ask me. But Anyways, this is a very interesting thing. You know, a little bit of substance, a little bit of celebrity gossip or whatever. But musicians from outside of the UK, as a result of Brexit, are going to have to essentially start paying to perform in England starting in 2021 if these rules don't change around. So just to explain it really fast, the temporary
it's visas, that's why.
Temporary worker visa tier 5 restriction might apply to creative and sports industries. So if you are an person seeking to breathe in the United Kingdom, mm-hmm. those rules are changing because of Brexit related stuff, and all the rules for like the country need to be rewritten. Any non-UK citizens within these fields would have to have nearly £1,000 or about $1,300 US in their bank account for 90 days to prove self-sufficiency, which is fairly standard.
No,
but
fairly
like,
standard, yeah.
Here's the part that gets kind of annoying. They would have to pay £244 or $316 roughly at time of speaking to actually submit their application. And the conditions apparently waived that person has been fully approved or A-rated, which involves having a sponsor. Mm-hmm. So what this is like, a crack in the sidewalk or something that's relatively unimportant. If you're a major artist, your label will handle this for you.
Gotcha.
It's gonna suck for people who are up and coming artists who are basically only popping off of SoundCloud,
especially in the electronic scene.
Especially in electronic,
especially
in rap.
A lot of European DJs and stuff that go to the UK all the time for it, and that's gonna be a nightmare for people.
Yeah, there are American rappers who find a huge following in the UK. Mm-hmm. And so they'll do a tour there, hit, you know, like mm-hmm. a couple, like four or five of the big cities and do that. And they're already, you know, like, tours are expensive no matter how you slice it.
Yes.
But like for smaller artists, what we're saying is it is going to definitely create a hindrance where like that $300 in visa work may make or break certain cases, or that cost might get passed down to people who are buying those tickets at those venues and things like that.
I was about to say that. I was more worried about that in that sense, because then some of the smaller artists who, a lot of the reason why they get support is because their concerts are cheap as fuck. So like you can go to an indie concert for $20, then because of these, they're going to have to hike up the prices because they need to get paid, or else, you know, the UK government's going to have more of their money and they're like, oh wait, we're coming out. We're not breaking even. So
there's an active campaign on British government and parliament that they create a musician's passport for non-citizens seeking to work in a country, basically making it or smoothing out the process for doing that. I think that's good. We shouldn't have so much friction with having musicians come in, because as we said, it just like makes it harder for fans to see the artists they like, especially the up-and-coming artists they like, because this isn't gonna be a big deal for festivals or like the headliners at said festivals, but it definitely just like, it's one of those things where it's the ramifications of Brexit, and it could be bad. So it's the transition period for Brexit ends in 2021. So there's still some time to iron this out potentially, but hopefully it does get ironed out. And with that, we go into our last album of the week, Bombay Bicycle Club's Everything Else Has Gone Wrong. It was an album that was released in January, late January, but we're reviewing it now because we can. 11 songs long. 42 minutes long, essentially. And I have very mixed opinions about it. There's some very good hits on this, and there's a lot of stuff that's just like very generic run-of-the-mill art. Alt-rock.
Yeah, alt-rock, indie rock. There's some good tracks in here. I like it. Where do we even start?
I would say, I mean, the first two tracks are fine.
Okay,
like, we'll get you in enough. I think Get Up is a very good, like, fun starter track.
Mm-hmm.
But this album did a very ballsy thing in which it has the title track in the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like, okay, you better have a good hand there, bud, if you're like, if you're doing that. And no, Everything Else Has Gone Wrong, the song, is probably one of my favorite songs on this album.
There's something on my rug where the chords and the notes are the only thing sung. Come on and get something on my rug. Keep the stereo.
It's good.
Go ahead.
The big theme to me of this album is the amount of percussion that's on it. There's
yes.
a lot of percussion, which some of it was weird because, and the tracks I didn't like, did this thing where the percussion was like a 5/4 timing or whatever the time, like, and some of it would change and it would be really weird, but then the lyrics on, or the vocals on top of it wouldn't match it. And it'd be this off thing of like a tugging back and forth between the vocals and the percussion, and just didn't fit. There's a couple of tracks that did that. But every track to me, like, there was so pronounced with the percussion. But I thought that was kind of cool. A little niche thing that you don't get to hear too often, especially in that alt indie scene. But it's a fun album. It's yeah. Everything else is gone. That's a very good track. I like it. There's a couple of other ones, like Party, People People with Liz Lawrence, the eighth song. That's a good track, too. The last two, Let You Go, Racing Trap, I do like. It's the middle where, like, I Can Hardly Speak, Good Day, stuff like that is okay. I Worry About You is also good. So it's like, it's kind of like how with Grimes' album earlier as well, where there's tracks I really like in here, and then there's tracks I definitely miss. So as a complete work, it's, I wouldn't say it seems unfinished, but there's a lot of ideas that just didn't go well for myself. But I can definitely say, hey, you tried something different. You tried to push it a little bit with it. Some of it worked, some of it didn't.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely going to put one of these songs on my playlist. I got to actually see what song I wanted to do that to.
Yeah. There are certain songs near the end where, like, it had this really nice blend, kind of like what you were saying, of like melancholy but happiness. Mm-hmm. And that's what I kind of like about this album. It's kind of like a Demon Days slash Gorillaz Demon Days slash Arcade Fire Everything Now kind of album, where it's like, the world's terrible, let's make music about it.
Yeah.
But not in the same way, like, we're gonna be talking about the specific things about the world. It's just this general sense of, like, never-ending sort of doubt or sadness about the future that is very palpable in the songs on here, but it's more like the context of these songs, because the songs are about love and loss and existence and being, but within this world of, like, deep down depressing hopelessness. Do You Feel Loved, I think, is a good balance of a song that I think almost landed, but because of everything that was trying to do in it, it has that thing that you were describing, Sean, where it just doesn't, it's trying too much at once, especially yes. with the percussion, especially with the sound, and it doesn't feel like it lands properly, and it leaves much to be desired in that case.
Do you feel loved when it's blood? Do you feel
But yeah, like, it's good to review an alternative album, especially recently, especially this year, that I don't fully like. Ones that I have, like, some kind of qualms with, and ones that I can pick out, because I don't want to make it seem like alternative music is perfect and, like, can't be wrong, because it definitely can be and it can get boring.
Yes. It's good. It's overall, it's a fun album. It's good.
Yeah.
In that regard. I always say, and will forever say on this podcast, if you try something different, I will always commend you for it. So, for indie, like, a genre where there's a lot of good and a lot of mediocre being put out now, this is one of the more interesting albums I've heard recently, and I'm an indie head. So,
yeah.
I like it. It was fun. I'm glad we put that in there. This Same. Is solid. What Chris Matthews quote would this be? This is the recent one of yesterday, where he compared Bernie Sanders' victory in Nevada to the fall of France in 1940. Like, my guy, you were drunk off MSNBC.
You're drunk off MSNBC.
Seriously.
There's a tweet making fun of that by a parody Chris Matthews account that's like...
Dude, the parody of Chris Matthews account is beautiful.
It was like, the Iowa caucuses were the falling of the first tower. The New Hampshire primary was the falling of the second tower. The Nevada caucus was The Pentagon, plane hitting the Pentagon. Yeah. I hope America decides in South Carolina to make this their Flight 93 moment. It's not a real quote, but it's like so an uncanny valley with Chris Matthews at this point that it's great. But no, good album. Definitely check out our playlist for 2020 good songs that are in the description of every single 2020 episode of Audio Face. So check that. But we are about to end the show. Thank you very much for listening. We always like to end on a fun note. And yeah, this is
random as fuck.
On today's edition of Sellout Corner, Bone Thugs and Harmony have renamed themselves to Boneless Thugs and Harmony as part of a Buffalo Wild Wings promotion.
Buffalo.
Okay. The group is populated by the likes of Crazy Boneless, Flesh and Boneless, and Wish Boneless, because they've changed their names because Bone Thugs and Harmony was
bone
apparently in the deal.
It's bone sucking good.
Oh man.
Wow. That is beautiful and hilarious. And they're like, I ain't changing my sound. I ain't changing shit, dog. You just change your name to, like, you're gonna get clowned for that. I hope you get beat up for that.
Yeah, you can go to BonelessThugs.com to buy limited edition shirts, hats, and
wow, that is the sellout. The sellout of the year so far is that.
I mean,
that's beautiful.
I don't hate it. I just don't care that much to like hate it.
No, it's just hilarious.
Oh, absolutely hilarious. This has been Audio Face. Thank you very much for listening. Yes. Make sure you are subscribed to this podcast so that every time new episodes are released, every single week or more, often than that, you get them immediately on your phone and you can listen to it at the gym or in your car or wherever you like to listen to podcasts. If you like to listen to podcasts on Apple Podcasts, leave us a review because that helps in the podcast world for some dumb reason. And Sean can be found on Twitter and Instagram at SW Suarez. I can be found on Twitter at Dan from the Web and on Instagram at Dan from the Internet. Thank you very much for listening and watching. We will talk to you soon. Cheers.
Cheers.